You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's new episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where we all float down here. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Georgie.
No, you're not.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you. Thank you all for tuning in. Sorry, we've been gone the last week or two, I think.
It was a week.
We're back. We're good.
Our lives are under control now.
Yep, we got it. So anyway, we have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
I actually got quite a few different items that I could choose from here. But I guess we might as well start with the what we alluded to in the intro.
Sure.
We saw it.
We did.
You saw
the movie.
The movie.
You saw
we
what?
Saw it.
We saw it.
The movie It. Stephen yeah. King's It.
Yes.
The remake of It.
The remake of It, which I had thought was going to be not good because
remake. Everything looked kind of not great about it.
Yeah.
It was questionable looking.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it before or anything or read it or anything, so I was going in completely.
You never even saw the original?
No.
Oh man,
I don't think so. If I did, I completely blocked it out.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah,
I saw it. Like,
it's kind of weird.
You saw what?
Well, I mean, in your defense, the original was like 4 hours long because it was a two night TV movie. Hmm. So like it was long.
Yeah, I'm starting to think maybe I didn't see the whole thing.
It's possible.
I watched it at some point in high school, and I don't remember hardly anything about it. And I'm starting to think maybe it's because I didn't watch all of it. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good. Like, it wasn't so much a complete horror movie as it was kind of like a summer adventure.
It's almost like grown-up Goonies.
Yeah. Like a Spielbergian movie mixed with a horror movie. And it was just a whole lot of fun.
It's like the Goonies if they had a really bad time.
Yeah. And swore a lot.
Yeah.
Which, like, 14-year-olds do. The kid from Stranger Things, which I previously made cracks about it being a little too on the nose to have him in mm-hmm. this movie. He was hilarious.
Oh, he was.
Yeah,
he was like the loudmouth swear friend that was...
Ah, gotcha. Okay, cool.
Constantly running his mouth.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I definitely recommend it.
I wouldn't say it's super scary.
It's scary in a fun way, if that makes sense.
Well, you can see all the things coming.
Yeah.
Like, I saw someone compare it to a roller coaster where you can see the drops mm-hmm. coming and you kind of just have to go with it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And it's pretty creative scares, I thought. Creative, creepy stuff
it's
going on.
Really good visuals.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Creepy visuals. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil, like, the big ones, but there's one part where he's just, like, in the woods waving a dismembered arm at the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Like, yeah. Like, it's his own hand, like, waving it at him.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Wow. So how does, what's his name, Skarsgård do as
Bill Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård, yeah. Yep. How does, yeah.
He's really good. Yeah. I mean, any time Pennywise is on screen is a creepy good time.
The fun thing is that he has a lazy eye, but they just ran with it. And so most of the time, the close-ups on him, like, his like eyes are, like, floating away.
Oh, wow, really? Oh, that's awesome. That's actually really cool.
It's kind of nuts how, like, pretty much the entire Skarsgård clan has this invaded Hollywood.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
But it's great. Go see it.
I have a question. The original, like, jumps between, like, the kids and then their later lives as adults. Does this movie do the same thing, or is it kind of, like, leading up to a movie where it's the adults?
It's all leading up to this to a sequel with the adults.
Okay.
Which it doesn't feel... It feels like a whole movie, though, as much as, like, a Marvel movie does. Mm-hmm. It's the It expanded universe.
It feels not done, but it's still, like... a good stopping point.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. if they didn't make enough money to make the sequel, that this would...
Okay.
It would work.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
There was enough closure.
Yeah.
Other movie we saw Ingrid Goes West, which was a trip.
It's buck wild.
Yeah. It's a movie about this girl who gets obsessed with people on Instagram and then tries to integrate herself into their lives.
Oh, I think I saw a preview for that.
It has Aubrey Plaza and, oh, Elizabeth Olsen?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Aubrey Plaza's the crazy one.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she nails it. She's really, really good. People should stop being surprised when Aubrey Plaza is really, really good in things because she's fantastic.
Really, really good in things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it without it getting spoilery, too, but I thought it would go darker and weirder than it did, but it stayed pretty well grounded. And it was kind of funny. It had its funny moments.
Oh, that's good.
Like, her boyfriend wanted to be a writer. He was writing a new Batman movie. And he was like, obsessed
with obsessed with Batman.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
There's a sex scene with the two of them. And he makes her dress like Catwoman call him Bruce.
Oh, God. Wow.
Tell me Gotham needs me.
Oh, no. Wow.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, wow. It was a good movie. But is it kind of a limited release thing? I don't know. When we went and saw it at the Marcus, and there was like two show times, and they were both like 8 and 9 or something weird. But I don't know. It was good. I'd recommend it.
Cool. Good.
I don't know. Somebody else go for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I've got more stuff, but I don't want to hog the...
Okay.
I mean, hog away. I don't have a whole lot.
Well, I can go ahead and do real quick.
We can always go back and forth. Oh,
yeah.
Sure. I have one thing that we both kind of did, and then I have one thing that I kind of did. The one thing I did was... So there is this musician. We have played his music a couple times on the show, I think. He goes by the name Froggy Fresh. He's a comedy rapper, kind of. But that's not really the best way to describe him. I think he is a... I don't know. It's because he definitely has like more serious songs, but it's like he has a persona.
Yeah, he's
of
got
a,
yeah,
yeah.
Of like a hillbilly
kind of kid
from like, you know,
suburbia.
And he's built like this entire like
universe
around in all of his songs kind of reference each other and things. He is actually getting out of the YouTube
game.
Yeah, he's he put out a video a while back saying, you know, we've been doing this for 5 years and it's been fun, but we're all getting older and we all have lives. We should probably start doing stuff. And he's kind of alluded to the fact that he wants to move out to California and try his hand at like actual comedic acting. And he decided that in order to kind of to say farewell to the character and to the whole Froggy Fresh act, he was going to do his one and only like U.S. tour. And he was down in Hamilton, Ohio last Thursday, which is about 2.5 hours away. And I drove out to the middle of nowhere to this little dive bar in Hamilton and watched Froggy Fresh. It was great. It was actually really great. He has almost no stage presence.
Oh,
yeah. His stage act consisted of him pacing back and forth while rapping across the stage. Like, not looking at anyone, just kind of just rapping. And I mean, the raps were good, but, like, he was just, like, nothing. He only had a DJ as his backup. And at first, it was just him until he sang a song about rescuing Moneymaker Mike, his hype man who doesn't speak, from, like, the evil clutches of James, Big Bad James, the town drug dealer. And then Moneymaker Mike showed up on stage, and for the rest of the show, they both paced back and forth, crossing in the middle with Moneymaker Mike silently, like, mouthing the words to all the songs, but not actually saying anything while Froggy Fresh was rapping. It was bizarre if you didn't know what you were there for, but for the folks, for everybody who was in the crowd that knew exactly what they were in for, it was, like, right dead on. Yeah. And, like, he would do, like, little things in between the songs. Like, he would stop rapping and then go. And then there was this one time where me and Mike had to dress up like Power Rangers to stop the Predator. And then they'd go into the song Street Rangers. And that's like, it. And he did that for, like, an hour and a half. And the end of the show was just like, hey, it's been fun. I'll see ya. And just scooted out the door and was gone. Although I did get a selfie with Moneymaker Mike. He came out into the crowd after the show, and that was cool. The weirdest thing was, and I didn't realize this at the time when I got the ticket, I thought it was just going to be his show. As it turns out, he was fourth billed in a cavalcade of local white rappers. It was something. It was something. Let me tell you what. Oh boy, oh boy. You know, I don't want to talk bad about anyone's craft, and I mean they're up there on stage doing their thing, and you know,
spitting
their rhymes, doing, you know, that they have more, you know, more talent than I do at that particular thing, but not for me, and not for the kind of crowd that came to see Froggy Fresh. It was like actual, like,
take this seriously.
Take this serious raps. Oh, and no. And metal? There was a metal band?
New metal. Because why not?
New metal.
New metal. Yeah. It was... No, but the 50-year-old mom that was in front of us was really having a great time with her son's rap group. she was having the time of her life.
Aw, supportive mom is supportive.
Yeah, she was... Yeah, that rap mom was very supportive.
Rap mom?
Yeah.
Yeah, she drove him there in her rap van.
Actually, you joke, but I believe that's what actually happened. She was like part tour manager for local rap group from Southern Ohio.
That's sweet.
Yeah. But no, it was really enjoyable. It's kind of a shame that he's not going to be doing any more raps. But no, the show was great. I got myself a little poster, got a hat. It says Froggy Fresh. And it's in the Krispy Kreme donuts style.
That's a nice reference.
Because his original rap name was Krispy Kreme until he almost got sued by Krispy Kreme donuts.
Which is ridiculous.
It is. But whatever. Fun fact, you know he was almost Jelly Bean Jack? Yeah, that was one of the names that he almost picked when he was switching over from Krispy Kreme to whatever.
Jelly Bean Jack.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Mick Foley wrestling character.
It kind of does, which makes sense because
he loves
the wrestling, especially John Cena.
Or a Candyland character.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, but no, he did all the classics. He did the Christmas song.
Yes,
he did. He did Dunked On.
I was actually getting ready to say, like, you know, the important question is, why is Big Chris crying?
Why is James crying?
Because
he just got dunked on. No, he did Street Rangers. He did Stolen Bikes 1 and 3. I guess the second part of the story wasn't as important.
Did you do the one about the zombie in the basement?
He did not do the one about the zombie in the basement, but he did the one about Moneymaker Mike being abducted by James and force-fed Fun Trip, the fictional drug that they sell. Yeah. Like I said, there's a whole story to the Froggy Fresh universe, and it's all on YouTube. Like, all on his page. You just got to watch the videos, like, in chronological order, and it all makes sense.
Sort of.
No, it does. There's a story. And actually, I guess there was originally supposed to be a double disc, like, final album called Escape from Hood Mountain. That was going to tie up all of the loose ends in the Froggy Fresh saga, but I guess it's not going to happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well.
He foxed himself.
Well, the other thing I checked out, and I talked about this on the last show that we did. I said I was about 10 minutes into the first episode of The Tick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Watched all 6 episodes of The Tick.
So did we.
Oh, my God. It's great.
It is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't realize how good it was going to be. Like, the main antagonist, Miss Lint, is
she's
great.
Cool.
She was very, very cool, very creative kind of character. I liked how she kind of, like, her spiral, like, back down. Like, she was, like, at the very beginning, like, the super prim and proper kind of, like, everything. And then everything just kept happening and, like, kind of got broken down a little bit. Everyone did a great job on the show. I really like Dot, Arthur's sister.
Yeah.
She seems almost like the most fleshed out character of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, which she goes from in the cartoon, she was just like there to ruin Arthur's day. Well, pretty much all that she existed for.
She existed to do that and also marry Dinosaur Neil. Remember the giant?
Oh yeah,
the guy who worked at the dino park that started growing and kept wearing, but somehow his dinosaur costume grew with him. Yeah,
that's a good episode.
It's a very good episode. But no, the introduction of the Overkill, the Punisher-esque character, yeah, and his partner slash roommate Danger Boat.
Danger Boat, the sentient boat.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Voiced by Alan Tudyk.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, Alan Tudyk.
Oh, I loved it whenever the tick would go into that, was it the grocery store or whatever? And the older Indian woman would tell the tick whatever she's eating. And it's like this long string of whatever. And he just starts laughing.
Yeah.
He's like, ha! It's wonderful. Like, and Peter Serafinowicz really just absolutely nailed the tick.
Yeah.
Did a great, great, great job.
I really have no complaints and would recommend this show to literally anyone.
Anyone and everyone. Because it's funny, but it's not a parody.
Yeah. It has an actual story and, like, real characters. Mm-hmm. And they took the cartoon and made a kind of a prestige TV show out of it.
Yeah. They really did, and the terror is, like, great for what little he popped up in it.
Yeah, he's super, like, evil and also funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it ends on a massive cliffhanger.
Yeah. And I guess it's coming back for a second season. The order was, like, I don't know, like 18 or something.
Yeah,
they
just split the first season in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why. I wish they wouldn't have, but whatever.
Oh, well, whatever.
I'm just glad it's here.
Yeah. I love that they've referenced the tick's costume looking different between episode one and episode two.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't even, like, stay on it for long. He's like, hey, do you look different? The tick just goes, ha, yeah.
He's like, thank you.
Thank you.
And that suit does look a lot better.
The second suit looks way better.
Yeah.
Because we watched the first episode again with my mom and got to see it right after. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgot.
Yeah, the super veiny pilot episode scene. Yeah. That just wasn't right. But no, it was really, really, really good.
That talking dog.
Oh, God.
Onward.
Yes.
Christian Soldier's dog psychic named Onward.
Oh, and they reference that at the birthday party with Arthur's stepdad. It's like, hey, this is a book written by a dog.
Yeah.
And the next episode is Onward, the talking dog talking about his memoirs.
Yeah. Oh, man. I need to get Amazon Prime.
Oh, God.
It's worth it.
Arthur's stepdad always asks him, how are you doing? How are your feet? Why? Why the feet?
They didn't tie up the very large man before the cliffhanger either.
No, they didn't, but the gag of Superion holding up the sign saying you are too large comes from the Dinosaur Neil episode. The tick, it was either the tick or Deflator Mouse with holding up signs that say you are too large.
Oh man, Deflator Mouse.
Oh yeah. I hope they bring in more characters, other superhero
characters. They kept it pretty subdued. There's not a whole lot of characters yet. Yeah.
Except for the Freedom Five that showed up for maybe 5 minutes.
They didn't all die. The one just got his hands broken.
No, they all died. They all got blinded by syphilis and then died.
Oh.
Onward was the only member that survived because he wasn't there. He was getting a flea bath or something. Seriously, I think that's what they said in the episode. But
actually, the only thing I really wanted was maybe a filler episode.
Yeah.
Just where the Tick and Arthur
are just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows? We might get something like that. That would be cool.
But it's the only time I've ever said, yes, please, filler episode.
Yeah, I just want more Tick. I want more Tick and Arthur. And the suit makes sense. For the first time, the suit makes sense. And why Arthur, this super scaredy cat, has to keep the suit makes sense.
It's actually part of the overarching plot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I could gush about the Tick forever, but we gotta keep moving here.
Let's see here. I watched pretty much the whole current season of OKKO.
Cool.
It's a good show. I've watched like 4 or 5 episodes. It's cute.
Which is a show on Cartoon Network right now where they're kind of parodying video games / superheroes.
Yeah.
Like they live like in this world of heroic people.
Yeah, where like everybody's some sort of superhero.
Yeah, and it's like just a normal everyday stuff. And K.O. is a kid who works in a bodega for, like, one of the big superheroes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. And, like, part of it, like, the art style is pretty simple. But at other times where it'll become, like, a hyper high quality. It's kind of weird.
Studio Trigger did the opening. Mm-hmm. The anime studio that always does real good stuff.
Yeah. Some of the sounds in the show are really interesting. Like, every time Radicles uses, one of the other characters uses like his telekinesis beam or whatever. It makes a sound like, I can't remember if it's an old Cartoon Network sound, like from the old bumps back in the day, or an old Hanna-Barbera bump.
Mm.
But it's like a, it's got a very,
could be both.
Could it be could both. Be both. Yeah. But it, it's got a very specific sound. Like it's like just like the first two notes of it or something.
Okay.
But it's like super neat. And like, there's like an overarching story that connects Mr. Gar, the hero who owns the bodega, to Kao's mom, Carol.
Who's a fantastic character, too.
Oh, I know. I love Carol. you get to see like her past self when she was, she was called Silver or something. I can't remember what her superhero name was.
But now she's a fitness instructor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a karate yoga place.
He had a dojo in the same plaza as
Lakewood Plaza. Lakewood Plaza Turbo is the name of the place.
Which is originally the name of the series.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And there's a picture frame shop that's owned by a bear who wears just like a normal t-shirt, and the words on the t-shirt change all the time depending on the situation.
Oh, that's cool.
Like there's one point where he's like just being a real big jerk and his shirt says horrible person. And his partner is just called Magical Skeleton.
Yeah, a real magical skeleton.
They have one episode that's actually a two-parter, and it almost references Street Fighter in a way.
Nice.
There's a lot of Street Fighter in
especially with KO and Enid.
It's definitely part of its DNA.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
Like KO taps into basically the Dark Edo.
Oh, nice.
And becomes like this super edgy but hyper powerful jerk. It's really fun. I really like it.
It's by Ian Jones Quarterly, who worked on Steven Universe, and also he did the webcomic RPG World back in the day, which is a really good old webcomic.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole episode where they basically do a Dungeons and Dragons, like, dungeon crawl through the basement of the bodega.
Cool.
Enid's voiced by Ashley Birch.
Oh, right on.
She's great.
Right on.
She recently won an Emmy, I guess, for work on Adventure Time.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Who is she on Adventure Time?
She wrote for Adventure Time.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. That's excellent.
Actually, the Adventure Time Islands comic,
she
wrote that,
too. Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm so out of the loop on Adventure Time, I'll be honest.
I haven't watched it forever either.
They've been releasing episodes very sporadically.
Well, it's hard to fit them into the schedule when you got to play all that Teen Titans Go.
Yeah. I know, right? But here lately in the mornings, they've been playing classic Teen Titans.
Well, that's good at least. It's better than nothing.
Oh, man, there's a Teen Titans Go episode coming on Friday. I almost want to watch it where the whole episode's done in cheesy 60s style, like Super Friends-esque.
See that? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds pretty good.
Like at one point, they're like, oh, and they're like, they're drawn in the 60s style of the Teen Titans comic, too.
Oh, okay, cool. And that's like, even better.
And Raven's like, I don't know what's going on, but I can only move my arms and head. And Beast Boy's like, I can only turn into one animal, yo.
Aren't they going to be doing an episode in like the standard Teen Titans style as well?
I don't know. They've made a lot of references to classic Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
It pops up once in a while. I don't know.
They're not afraid to make reference to the fact that everybody hates their own show.
Their show. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you, as much as I hate Teen Titans Go, there are some episodes that are pretty golden.
Yeah, it can have some good jokes in it.
Well, they throw in a lot of like background jokes and stuff like that.
Oh, I love the background jokes. The background jokes are the best.
Well, yeah.
It's not the worst show, but they really shouldn't play it
all the time.
It shouldn't be the only show.
Yeah.
That and Tom and Jerry. Mornings on Cartoon Network are awful.
Really? I didn't know they still played Tom and Jerry.
They do.
Ugh. I'm not a fan.
But
I've never been a fan of Tom and Jerry.
No.
Not really, no.
It lacks the cleverness of like a Bugs Bunny.
Right, yeah. Although there was a time that Chuck Jones did some Tom and Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
And those were like super experimental and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of neat.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, it has a completely different visual style than the rest of the Tom and Jerry stuff.
Well, they look a lot more like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
They look like Chuck Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there were those, like Russian style ones? They're like a couple of, there were a handful of Tom and Jerry's where it's like super, like crazy experimental, like weird stuff.
I don't remember.
Yeah, something, yeah, I can't remember what the exact like style was, but yeah, they were just kind of weird.
Mm. See what else? Oh man, that new Rick and Morty episode though. Did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
You don't sound so enthused, Cody.
The last like three episodes I didn't care for. They just weren't funny.
I really liked this episode.
I didn't think it was funny.
I don't think it was supposed to be.
Then
the series is supposed
to be. It's a comedy
show. Yeah. I mean, you can have pathos and deal with serious things in a comedy show, but at one point, do you lose?
Yeah, BoJack Horseman manages to balance it out. Why can't?
And BoJack Horseman, I don't think was supposed to be was not an out and out comedy from the get go. Where Rick and Morty, clearly the first season was supposed to be, and large portions of the second season was supposed to be a comedy.
I feel like Rick and Morty has jumped the shark somewhere recently.
Pickle Rick!
Yeah, maybe Pickle Rick might have been that moment for me.
You know, I've noticed a lot of people online kind of mock Rick and Morty based on the Pickle Rick shtick. Like, Morty, I turn myself into a blank.
Yeah.
I'm blank Rick!
Well, it's like Tiny Rick last season. It's the same.
It's the same thing.
Same thing. And then he shouts, I'm something Rick. Like,
so they can put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Have its moments.
Yeah, but if the series is supposed to be a comedy, keep it a comedy. I mean,
it's too nihilist.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's my problem, and it's just too dark and hopeless.
Yeah, and it thinks it's being clever when it's being dark and hopeless, and it's just like no.
It kind of has a similar thing that happened to Scrubs in the middle seasons, where Scrubs was originally a comedy.
And then
it gets super maudlin for like three or four seasons. Like every episode had to have like a super serious like thing to it, which some episodes every once in a while go for it. But like at what point do you lose your way? You
we
know?
Get it. Rick's a jerk.
Yeah.
He's not going to change. So why harp?
Yeah.
He's not going to change. So why harp on it? Like, because if he did change, then it would ruin the show.
It might be interesting.
I don't know. I think this episode was more like about building up the true villain of the season.
Which is Evil Morty. That was the twist at the end was that it all took place on the Council of Ricks.
The Citadel of Ricks.
Oh.
And showed you how the Citadel of Ricks works when you have a billion different versions of the same two people.
Which inherently didn't make sense.
I mean, like how all the Ricks are all super geniuses, but yet some of them are janitors and some are assembly line workers.
Yeah, like how does that happen? I can't see any Rick as a character accepting that.
Yeah.
But every Rick is different, though. Not every Rick is the same as our Rick. I mean, look at Doofus Rick. Look at Simple Rick. And then them basically kidnapping and torturing Simple Rick to make candy bars.
That made no sense. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of news. We're back. That was Dunked On by Froggy Fresh. Just a taste of some of the live quality entertainment that I had last week.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's great.
No, I was apologizing to the listeners.
You don't need to because it's great.
And I'm sure they enjoyed it.
And if they didn't, they got dunked on.
Oh man.
So anyway, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news. First up, Star Wars Episode 9 has been having some issues with directors.
Yeah, last week it lost a director.
Mm-hmm.
This week it gained a director.
And a writer.
Yeah. Yeah, as it turns out, oh god, what was the name of the director that left the project?
Was it like Colin?
Trevorrow. Colin Trevorrow, that's his name. Yeah, he left over creative differences, and after some speculation of who would take his place, J.J. Abrams came back in and stepped into the role to direct.
He's
back for more to direct and kind of punch up the script a little bit, something like that, right?
Which I wonder, Disney doesn't want anybody to have any creative control over Star Wars, do they? Because they keep booting people.
Well, they spend an awful lot of money for that IP, and they want to make sure that the movies that they produce and the content that they produce is exactly what they want it to be. And I could see both sides of that. It's a real bummer to see directors not be given the creative freedom that they should really kind of deserve, you know, if they're hired for a job because they because a production a company believes that they are capable of doing the job, they should be allowed to have some kind of leeway when it comes to creating that thing. On the other hand, Star Wars is a big deal to an awful lot of people. And if it gets screwed up, you have prequels all over again. And nobody wants prequels all over again.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes a director having too much creative
input
kind of, turns things into, like, I don't know, Transformers.
It's like, at this point, though, why not just have Kathleen Kennedy and the board members of Disney direct the movie?
Well, with J.J. Abrams, they kind of are.
Yeah.
And some people are upset about J.J. Abrams. And, yeah, it is kind of a bummer that they're going back to the well a little bit with this.
Way too safe.
It's way too safe. You're absolutely right. But with Episode 8, he proved that he could write and direct a movie set in the main line. He could write and direct a movie based in the Star Wars main line that fit in with the original trilogy. And if the goal of these next three is to be just like fit into that mold, if the goal for the mainline Star Wars is to be just like all other Star Wars, where the spinoff movies, the one-shot movies, are a little more creative, then yeah, J.J. Abrams, why not? What the heck?
I tell you, Rogue One's still probably one of my top favorite Star Wars movies now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was different. It was different enough.
It was different and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then that would work too, but they fired the Lord Miller off of the Han Solo movie.
But then they brought on Ron Howard, and Ron Howard's not going to fall right in line with he's not really a company man, more or less. And he's a big enough director that they will give a little bit of leeway. Maybe Lord Miller's script was a little too much.
Which I could see that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say.
I mean, it's clear that they were going for a more comedic take on for the Han Solo movie than what the standard Star Wars movies would be.
Yeah.
But what if it was just too wacky, goofy? What if they were, I don't know.
Yeah, I was worried about it being too wacky, goofy originally. But now I'm kind of like, why not? Because I don't want to get sick of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But if they want to do something that's way different.
I would say why not if it wasn't Han Solo.
If it was a character
that wasn't integral to the original three films.
Yeah. If it was the Max Rebo movie.
Yeah. Or, heck, if it was the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, which they're going to be doing eventually, which is something we talked about a few weeks ago. He is just on the outside enough that they could do something really just kind of out of the box and just kind of out there with him. But Han Solo, they got to be kind of safe because what you don't want is for his solo movie to do something that retroactively makes him a bad character in the original films.
Max Rebo's big move.
Figuring Dan and the modal nodes behind the music.
Be like that inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah. Walk Hard, the Max Rebo. You don't want any of this, Max Rebo.
Man, Walk Hard is one of the most underrated movies.
It really
of all
is.
Time.
It's very it so good. Much. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think people didn't see it because they thought it was like one of those Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It's yeah.
There's a lot more going on in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just thought of a mashup of School of Rock and a Jedi Academy in my head. Oh, man. All right. Oh, wouldn't that be weird, though, having Jack Black in your Star Wars movie?
I could see it.
I could see it. God, who would he be?
Oh, Jack Black?
No, yes, no, we can.
What?
No, I could do this. There's got to be a Star Wars character that would be a good fit for Jack Black.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, yeah.
I was just thinking.
Max Rebo.
Actually, if they have him like do mocap and voice for Max Rebo, because we never heard Max Rebo talk, and then put Kyle
technically.
Yeah.
I mean, he did talk a lot in the Robot Chicken Star Wars.
Well,
that's not
Robot
canon.
Chicken, that's not canon. But then get Kyle Gass in there for something like
with
Tenacious
alien,
D in space.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that would be awesome. Tenacious D and the Pick and Destiny in space.
Oh,
set
man.
In the Star Wars universe. Ugh. Perfect. We just rolled him. Where's our money? Where's our $1 million?
Hey, Disney.
Yeah, hey, Disney. Anyway, speaking of movies, this is some pretty big news. Patty Jenkins, the director of Wonder Woman 1, has been tapped to not only direct Wonder Woman 2, but is it co-write and
produce.
And produce. That is a huge thing, and I can't be happier about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She did a great job on Wonder Woman 1, and it's... She's going to continue to do great stuff, not just with Wonder Woman, but with just about any other project she's attached to.
So hopefully. Maybe Wonder Woman, Grease Lightning will strike twice?
Most definitely.
Also, I hope they use the name Grease Lightning.
Wonder Woman, Grease Lightning.
Wonder Woman 2, : Grease Lightning.
it's a Wonder Woman Flash joint picture.
No, it's one part of the story is Wonder Woman as Diana Prince takes a role in a stage production of Grease.
Of Grease. Well, I was saying Grease because she's Greek.
That's what that was the joke I was going.
Grease Lightning.
Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thanks for being below my joke there, peasant.
But no, this is great news. I'm really excited.
Super excited.
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, the winds of change, you know.
It means Warner Brothers actually recognized what was good, what made Wonder Woman work.
Or at least didn't want to mess up what they had.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, people like this one. People like this one.
Well, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
It made money and they liked it this time.
Yeah.
I mean, not that none of the other ones didn't make money. All the other DC pictures have made money.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It made money and people liked it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything else to add to this. This is just great news. I'm curious to see what kind of story they tell, whether they go back and do another story in Wonder Woman's past.
Or if it's going to branch off from, like, Justice League.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Either way, it'd be good.
I mean, they could do World War II if they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They could do 70s, the super spy.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Diana Prince, yeah, style. Yeah, that would be cool.
Still need an invisible plane. Anyway.
I agreed. You know what? Absolutely agreed.
I don't think they will.
No,
they definitely
won't. But they really should.
But they should.
So silly seeing Gal Gadot flying through the air.
Just sitting? Yeah, that'd be great.
Or at the very least, make a reference to it. Something.
Yeah, do something. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to the Nintendo Direct. So let's dig into that. Yeah, there was about 45 minutes long. It was a pretty meaty one.
On Wednesday. They made a bunch of 3DS and Switch announcements. And 3DS
should have just been Switch announcements.
3DS is still very much a thing.
How long was that Xenoblade thing?
It's like, it was like 100 hours long.
Yeah.
It's like the whole tutorial. It's like,
yeah, they give you a whole primer on the world of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And it's like, I don't care. Let me do that in the game.
Yeah.
Like,
it was rough, and
it made the game look boring.
It made the game look incredibly boring. I'll be honest, I wasn't very interested in the game to begin with. There's something about, maybe it's just because I've never played the original ones or the one that was on the Wii U. My only experience really with the Xenoblade characters was, what's his name in Smash Brothers?
Shulk,
and I could care less about Shulk and his sword.
The Monado.
And this one is like, your sword is also a lady.
Or something.
I've been calling it Date My Sword Simulator. Because that's where the story is going to lead. You can see that coming a mile away. And I mean, some of the mechanics look kind of neat, I guess. But like the battle HUD was like way, way overdone. And you're right about the trailer. They explained everything in super detail to the point of it just being just...
Like, I'm sure
boring.
I'm sure it's going to be a great game. The other two games in the franchise were really good, especially the last one. But they did a good job making this one look not good.
Yeah, just, oh my god.
I liked how you could make a character. You made your character in the second one. It doesn't look like you get to do that in this one.
Nope, everybody is Rax, or Rex, or whatever his name is.
Kind of stinks. Yeah, it was Rex. Rax.
Rax.
He serves up some roast beef for everybody.
Some subpar roast beef that's not quite to Arby's level. You know, everybody dunks on Arby's about it being kind of not great, like, online. But
I like Arby's.
I love Arby's.
Yeah, I love Arby's.
But But everyone forgets that Rax existed, and it was like the Arby's of Arby's food.
Before we go on a fast food tangent again.
Yeah, we can't keep doing this every episode. We can't let this happen.
We need to start doing the show hungry.
Yeah, well, that too.
Oh, man.
What else?
Anyway, yeah, let's talk about some other stuff. What 3DS stuff did they have?
They're making a Mario Party that's a collection of the 100 best minigames from
the last 10 years.
All the other Mario Parties.
Which is cool. I wonder if it has a game board, because if it's just minigames, I could care less.
Yeah, I need the board to hold all the minigames together. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
I think it's nice that it's the, what is it, you only need one cart to play.
Yeah,
it's
like,
that's nice.
3DS download play.
Download play. Yeah. I wanted to say AirPlay, but I know that wasn't it.
That's the Apple thing.
That's an Apple thing. Oh, yeah, there's a phone, right? There's a new phone?
Oh, yeah, the iPhone X.
Oh, yeah, there's a new
or the
iPhone.
Apple 10.
We could talk about.
We could.
Yeah, no, we don't have time.
All right.
No, it's Nintendo time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's an ARMS update that's actually out now. Introduced another free character and a handful of gloves. And
a new clown character, because clowns are so hot right now.
Clowns are great. Well, her fists are nunchucks, and that is great. They're called funchucks. That's a strong name.
Yes.
It also adds a feature that should have been built into the beginning and has been the major reason why I haven't been playing ARMS. You can now map all of your moves to different buttons.
Yay.
So now every time I want to punch, I don't accidentally jump and get bopped every time.
There should just be a settings feature in the Switch itself that lets you remap the buttons, but...
Oh, there should be.
That's too much to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
They announced two new 2DSs, didn't they?
They did, yep.
Yeah, that one that looks like a Pokeball that's super rad.
That's super cool. And then there's the white and orange one that is super clean.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like an orange dream bar.
Yeah, I didn't want to buy another 3DS thing. That's a nice looking 2DS. It's a very nice looking 2DS.
It makes me want to go play Portal.
Yeah, a little bit, actually. Yeah.
If you got both of them, you'd have a blue one and an orange one.
There you go. Yeah. Actually, Japan's getting a black one with a green outline that looks like in the same style as the white and orange.
It's kind of Genji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Makes you think of all that Razer PC peripherals. Mm-hmm.
More lights on it.
Yeah. There was some Pokemon stuff. They still have not sold me on Ultra Sun or Ultra Moon.
It's Pokemon.
Yeah, it just looks like more of the same.
Yeah. It looks like it's set years after Sun and Moon, so it's not like a glorified DLC. But there's, again, yeah, you're right. There's not enough to justify it, especially when they announced a while back that they're making a mainline Pokemon game for the Switch. I'm just going to wait for that.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll live.
It's become a thing where I'm skipping the middle ones for some reason. Not on purpose. It's just I haven't been interested.
Yeah. You know, I miss the days when they would put out, like, one special edition one. Like you had red and blue, and then yellow was kind of the special edition. Then you had gold and silver, and platinum was
crystal.
Crystal. Yeah, you're right. Crystal was the special edition one. And then it was, like, diamond and pearl.
And platinum? Was it diamond and pearl and platinum?
Maybe?
No, it was gold.
Ruby, sapphire.
Gold, silver, platinum, because those are metals. Pearl, diamond, pearl, crystal.
Now, crystal was gold and silver.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. Anyway, I miss the days when there was one special edition and you didn't have to buy two separate ones. I think that started with black and white and with black 2 and white 2.
Yeah.
That was bad. It's bad news.
Also, just black and white. It was black and white and black and white 2 were just bad.
They weren't great. They were kind of the down point a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say straight up bad, but they're definitely not
the weakest.
Good. Yeah.
The weakest of the mainline Pokemon games, sure.
Also,
it's one I didn't play, really.
They're putting gold and silver on the virtual console, which is cool.
Yep.
I'll get that.
On my birthday next week. Yeah. Happy birthday to me. I'm probably not going to buy them, but whatever. Although gold and silver were good games.
Yeah, that's my favorite generation, probably.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite Pokemon are in that. One of my favorite starters is in that. Totodile.
Turns into a
feral gator, the giant alligator-looking dude. Yeah, it's great. Super great. name him Bayou. Every game I've had a feral gator, I've named him Bayou.
Bayou.
Yeah.
Bayou Billy.
That's right. There you go. Let's see some of the other stuff. The new Kirby for the Switch has a full name. It's like Kirby
Star Allies.
Something like that. Still looks great. Looks super good.
Looks like Kirby.
He's getting, you can you befriend. It's not really tame. You befriend three enemies for special, like, quad attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
And it gives you different abilities. Also, that giant DDD.
Swole DDD.
Yeah.
He looks like a JoJo character.
He does. He's huge. He is massive.
I saw someone call him Dad DDD. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks like Kirby, though. I mean, which is not a bad thing.
It's great. Kirby has a really... Kirby's style and playstyle hasn't changed much over the years because it was good to begin with.
Yeah.
You don't need to fix what isn't broken, you know?
Kirby has a pretty stellar track record.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. It sure does.
But even the last game, that Planet Robobot, was excellent.
That was really good game.
I liked it way more than I thought I would. I'm like, here's a Kirby that I'll just... you know, slide through, I'll enjoy it, but it'll be ultimately forgettable. No, it was actually really good.
It was very good.
Arcade Archives is a thing. I guess we moved to the Switch now.
Might as well. We've been kind of bouncing back and forth, whatever.
Nintendo's taking all their old arcade games, which have previously not been available in their original form anywhere, and is going to release them on the Switch. So
that's cool.
Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong...
Did you see Punch-Out? Yeah, I'm really excited about that Punch-Out.
Like the real arcade Punch-Out,
which
is completely different than the NES one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm stoked about that. I love Nintendo's arcade games.
I am, too. Give me some versus a balloon.
Yeah, balloon fight.
Balloon fight. Yeah, good stuff.
It's kind of a big deal. There's actually some third-party games coming for the Switch. They're getting Doom.
Yeah.
Which is great. Excellent game. I'd almost be willing to buy it again to be able to play it on the Switch. And Wolfenstein 2, which is not even an old game.
Yeah, no, that's a brand new. That's not even out yet.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if they're going to put the first Wolfenstein remake.
The New Order?
New Order, yeah.
I mean, they should.
They should.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Now I have to make a tough decision on what system I want to buy the new Colossus on.
Well, it just depends. Do you want to take it on the go?
Do you want
to sit on your toilet and play Wolfenstein?
Possibly.
There you go.
Or in bed.
More importantly, on the
toilet.
Yeah.
Mike, you need another reason for your legs to fall asleep on the toilet.
Yeah. There we go.
But, I mean, that's a big deal. Like, those are real third-party, like, yeah.
It's almost like this is a real game system.
Yeah.
With real games in it.
For big adult boys.
Yeah.
Like, when the Nintendo Direct started and it said games rated E through M, I was like,
what?
M?
What?
Yeah.
I mean, Mario Odyssey is obviously going to be rated M for nudity.
Oh, for those Mario nips?
Yeah. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Yeah, no, I don't want to bury the lead on that one.
Skyrim. They put a date on it now.
That's fine.
November.
That's cool. You know, I never played any other version of Skyrim. I might pick this one up. I don't know.
I am going to. The idea of a portable Skyrim is actually, you know, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Don't give it to Todd.
No, I'll give Todd my money again. I mean, I only ever bought the Xbox 360 version of Skyrim, so.
Yeah.
I liked Skyrim. I don't know why people dog on all the time, but I liked Skyrim a lot.
I think they more dog on
Todd Howard
than they dog on Skyrim.
Yeah, and the fact that they've re-released it 100 million times.
Yeah.
On every console.
Yeah.
I liked Oblivion better, honestly.
Yeah. I've heard good things about Morrowind.
Yeah.
Morrowind was great.
Let's see. There was a Fire Emblem Warriors thing.
I still could care less.
I don't have as much an attachment to the Fire Emblem characters.
There's so many Fire Emblems.
Yeah, like I like the Fire Emblem games a lot, but I don't have an attachment to the characters either. Yeah.
They die all the time.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain ones I like better than others, but there's none of them like I'm all about this. I'm all about Crom.
Yeah.
I do like Thrasia.
Well, everybody does.
Yeah. My Fire Emblem wife. My waifu.
Oh, jeez.
I did marry her in my Fire Emblem game.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think that's only legal in Canada.
Okay, Splatoon 2, there's a couple of new... There's a classic stage, a new stage, and a new weapon.
A good classic stage, too. Yeah. I like Keldon.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
That's a very good one. Snipperclips is getting a new version, which features all of the original... Which features the original version inside it.
And like 30 new levels or something.
Something like that.
Which I've never played Snipperclips, but I've heard nothing but good things. Like, it's apparently very, very good.
When it was released, I heard it was excellent, but it was too short and wasn't worth the money. Now, it seems like it's worth the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the people who have bought the original Snipperclips, you can get the added content as a DLC pack. So you're not having to buy a brand new game that features all of the stuff from the old game you've already bought.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that's a classy move.
Snipperclips was like one of the first touchscreen games for the Switch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was like the touchscreen game.
Is it touchscreen?
Yes.
It can be when it's in handheld mode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When it's on TV mode, you just use the controllers or whatever. There were a few other things, there's a weird MOBA, there was a Square Enix, like two... like high-def 2D game, which is kind of neat. But we're running out of time, and I really want to talk about those Mario nips. So we're going to talk about... about Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, they had a new trailer for
they
it.
They did?
They didn't. There wasn't really a whole lot of new stuff.
It was like a seven-minute segment.
But they were... They just talked about the same stuff over and over. They showed off two new levels. There's an ice level because you got to have an ice level.
Yeah.
And there's a beach level because you got to have a beach level. Plus, they alluded to at least a couple more before the releases are all said and done. But I don't know. I'm going to play the game. I don't need to know about every single.
Yeah,
you know.
I just want to play the game.
I'm already sold.
Yeah, and but no, they also explained a little more about the costumes and that sort of thing. It seems like the costumes aren't going to do. They're purely cosmetic. They're not really going to do anything. But it's like a completionist kind of thing where you get enough coins to buy all the different costumes, and some of them are like classic stuff like Dr. Mario and
Yoshi's Cookie Mario.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Beach Time Mario.
Did you see the, what is it, red shirt? No, the...
Red overalls, yeah. Blue shirt Mario.
Yeah.
I keep switching it.
Well, they kept switching it up for a while before they decided it was blue overalls, red shirt.
Yep.
Mario Maker, Construction Mario.
Yeah. They're almost all pulls from...
classic art or classic games.
Yeah. Either games or, like, art that they made for marketing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Do you think they'll have Nintendo technical help Mario?
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
That would be great.
The little toolbox and the, like, the work shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But it continues to look really good. I'm really excited for it. It looks a lot bigger than I was anticipating. I thought each of the worlds was just going to be kind of a small, contained kind of thing.
Like a Mario 64 kind of.
But it seems more like the worlds individually aren't as big as Breath of the Wild, but I think because it's not as graphically intensive as Breath of the Wild, they might actually have, like, collectively a larger play area.
Yeah. They scrolled down a list of the available collectibles in one of the kingdoms, and it was over 50.
There's a ton. A ton of them.
In one world alone, there was over 50.
Yeah, and so far there's like six worlds they've announced. I still love the name New Donk City.
Yeah.
In Metro World. So I'm excited. It's going to be good.
They kind of showed off like some of the powers that Cappy's got that I didn't think he had before. Like,
they actually added a separate plot line for Cappy, the sentient Mario hat that he wears. He's trying to rescue his sister Tiara,
who's on Princess Peach's head.
Yeah. And actually, I don't think it's so much Mario hat becomes sentient. It's more like Cappy possesses
Cappy
Mario's
possesses
hat.
Mario's hat. That's what
captures.
I meant.
Nintendo doesn't want you to say possess.
Well, because the word captures has cap in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I saw some like neat like play mechanics with it, like. It was like opening a sewer cover, and you could like use Cappy to like possess the or capture the sewer cover, and then move it, and then jump back to Mario.
You can say possessed. We're not beholden to Nintendo.
Yeah, we don't work for Nintendo yet.
I mean, if they want to send us stuff,
if they want to sponsor
review,
us, you know,
then we'll say capture all day.
Yeah.
But...
if Nintendo wants to capture Nerd Overload, I'd let them.
Hey, everybody! It's the Nerd Overload. Just capture the fun.
Brought to you by Nintendo.
Let's go.
Wahoo. Mamma mia. Anyway, I think we've pretty well covered everything. There were a bunch of other little things. You can go online and watch the Direct. But for the most part, I think it was a good Direct. Nothing really too surprising. Yeah. But
didn't blow my socks off, but it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same here. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap the show up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com. This is normally the part where Josh would say, you know, facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio, and we go through all that stuff. We have decided to go ahead and, like, put everything under one umbrella. So now we can just say Nerd Overload now on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch. Not YouTube yet. Can't change that till we have 100 followers. But when that happens, we're going to change that too. So just, you know, facebook.com/nerdoverloadnow, twitter.com/nerdoverloadnow. It's all the same across the board. Super
nerd
easy.
Nerd Overload Now.
Yeah, because Nerd Overload Live is too long.
By one letter.
By one letter. That's right.
Oh, I thought you were funny. I was like, what?
No, it's a go. No,
the email didn't change.
Okay, yeah. You can still email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, and iTunes and Stitcher, you can find all of our shows there. And yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.